James chapter 3. Lord willing, we'll finish up James chapter 3 today. Not the book of James. Got two more whole chapters to go through. But let me ask you a question, honest question, deserving an honest answer, an honest reply. Are you guys being blessed by this study? Amen. I know I've been blessed. Super convicting. You know, I've said that a lot when I'm starting the sermons, that James has really been convicting me. And that is so true. And if we apply this stuff to our hearts, if we walk in this stuff, we're going to be a blessing and we're going to be blessed. Amen? So I gotta let y'all know, Brother Rick is not here this morning, so we don't have the slides. So is it cool if we just read out of the Lord's Word this morning? Is that cool? Okay, so we're going to be in James 3, and we're going to start at verse 13. Okay, and you know what? Here's the cool thing is we do have the bulletin, so if you want to flip that over, that's the meat and the potatoes of what we're going to be in today. And you can make notes. And I got to tell you, the Spirit is moving this morning. His presence is in our midst. Am I the only one that feels it? He is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. And I know that the Lord wants to do a work in this church this morning. The Lord wants to do a work in our hearts. So let me just say this, that if you've been holding on to some unforgiveness, if you've been holding on to some bitterness, things like this, if you got in a fight on the way up here, if you brought in some baggage this morning, when I say that stuff, I mean it. You know what I mean? When we don't have to leave with that stuff if we don't want it. You know what I mean? We can leave here changed. We can leave here refreshed and excited. Who wants that this morning? Father God, thank you for your anointing presence this morning in this house, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that you're going to touch each and every one of us. Thank you for physical healings in our bodies. Thank you for breakthroughs, Lord God, those strongholds in our lives, Lord God. Thank you that you're just destroying them right now in the name of Jesus. We love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, He is mighty to save. That is true. He is mighty to save, beloved. Okay, so this is number 10. This is number 10 in our study in James. Last 2 weeks, we were talking about the kind of things that we say. You know, we can be, the things we can say, the things we do say so often can be so harmful, so hurtful, so detrimental. We can lead people into temptation. We can lead people into sin. We can hurt people. We can destroy people's reputations. We can just go on and on and on about how deadly the things we say can be. Amen? And now this week, changing it a little bit, we're talking about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. This is I really enjoyed my time of study this week, and I just pray that we are all blessed. Amen. So let me read this real fast. Let us all get on the same page here. James 3, and I'm going to start at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submission, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Amen? So that's our text this morning. Lord willing, we're going to get through that. We may or may not. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? So, we got to start off, we got to talk about wisdom this morning. Okay, wisdom is not just head knowledge. Did you guys know that? Wisdom is not just head knowledge. It's not just the things you know, but it's applying what you know or applying that knowledge in the appropriate way. Does that make sense this morning? Let me say it like this. You can read a book about campfires. You can learn all about campfires. You can know about campfires. That you can have all that kind of knowledge. But wisdom would be not putting your hand in that campfire. Does that make sense? I mean, you can know, okay, I was in the Boy Scouts, and they said, fire gives off light, fire gives off heat, fire is something you respect. You can have all that knowledge. But the wisdom is not putting my feet in that fire, not putting my hand in the fire. Let me say it like this. Do you remember this? Some of us, we have to go really, really back in time. Do you remember when you had to take your driving test, the written driving test? Remember them days? Okay, wake up, everybody. Let's get excited. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, yeah, I remember that, man. I remember studying and studying, and I had all that knowledge. You know, I passed my little test. I had that knowledge. But see, the wisdom in that is when I'm on the road that I don't run the red light. You know what I mean? That I drive appropriately. Does that make sense? So wisdom is applying that knowledge in the right way. Amen. So as I grow in my relationship with the Lord, as I mature in my relationship with the Lord, the things I know about the Lord, the knowledge I have, y'all with me so far? As I grow in that knowledge about the things of the Lord, when I read the word, okay, when I apply it in the appropriate way, that's wisdom. One more example. When you memorize books of the Bible, when you memorize scripture, that's knowledge. But when you apply it, when you obey it, that's wisdom. Making sense now, guys? That's what we're talking about this morning. Okay. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works. So if I am a Christian, I should be wise. Amen? If I am a Christian, you should be able to see wisdom in my life by the things I do, the places I go, the things I say. Amen? That's a fruit. That's something that you're going to see. Okay, now I understand you can't see wisdom no more than you can see my faith. But we see the fruits of that faith all the time, don't we? So we can see the fruits, we can see the good works that come out of wisdom, that come out of obeying the word of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay, God is good. Man, wasn't that that thing that Kiwi did awesome? And Travis, oh my gosh. I love it. I can't help it. I'm a little excited. I love it. And all God's people said he loves it. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Okay. So this is the place where Christians got to get. All of us got to get on this program, okay? The body of Christ has to get on this program. Victory Life Church has to get on this program. Pastor Paul, even Sister Claudia, Brother James, we got to get on this program, okay? Where I'm talking about meekness, I'm talking about humility, I'm talking about we have to come to this place, beloved, where it's not about me. Amen? As I mature in the Lord, that's going to become more and more evident in my life. Hey, it's not about me, right? And I'm going to be about my Father's business. Can I get a witness this morning? Every single one of us got to get on that program. Amen? It's not about my bucket list. It's not about the things that I want to accomplish. See, we can work hard and we need to work hard and we can have hobbies and we can have all that stuff. But the Lord God desires so much that we have a Christ-centered life. And everything we do, everything we meditate on or think about, the things we say, the places we go, are to give God glory and to give honor. Amen? Now, do we do that perfectly? No, we do not do that perfectly. You know what? But the more I love him, the more I love him, the more I'm going to be obedient to his word. Amen? The more I love him, the more time I spend with him. So we're talking about this whole godly wisdom thing this morning, and I know what you're thinking. Dustin, I can hear it, man. I'm playing. I just made you nervous. But you know what? You might be saying, hey, godly wisdom, that don't sound half bad. I could use some of that. You know, where do we get godly wisdom from? Okay, first of all, it's like this. You got to be a member, not a member of VLC, not a member of Victory Life Church. That don't hurt. That don't hurt, but that's not what I'm talking about this moment. You got to be a member of the child. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3. You have to be a member of the body of Christ. Amen. You have to be in the family. Okay? Because if you're not in the family, then you're going to have something called worldly wisdom. And we're going to get into that in a minute. And that don't go to no place good. Okay? But see, believers, we want to have godly wisdom. Remember when James said a few weeks ago, quite a while ago, he said, if you need what? If you need wisdom, ask him. Not ask James, not ask brother James, not ask your neighbor James, but ask God. You need wisdom, ask God, because he wants to give it to you. You need godly wisdom. He wants us to have godly wisdom. God says, ask me. I'm not going to give you a scorpion. I'm not going to give you a serpent. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm not even going to get mad at you for asking. Amen? So we got to belong to the family, and we got to want it, and we ask him. And you know what? He's going to give it to us. But you know the number one place that you're going to get godly wisdom is by getting into the Word of God. I know this sounds awful familiar, okay, but the prescription ain't changed since last week. You know what I mean? This is where we get victory from right here. What is it? Psalms 119, biggest chapter in the Bible. That thing is pages and pages long. All Psalms 119 is about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom that comes from getting in the Word of God. You know what I mean? Psalms 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Amen. That's what we need. That's what's going to keep us out of trouble. Amen. That's what is going to allow us to do that right thing, to make those good, godly decisions that are going to bear much fruit in my life and in the kingdom. Amen. Y'all with me? So that's what we got to do, man, because we all need it. And we should not put aside our Bible study time. You know what I mean? You can't read 4 or 5 chapters a day? Good, that's fine. I understand. I dig it. Sometimes we can't do that. But get into it and say, God, I need wisdom. I don't want to mess anything up today. I need your wisdom. Just sock it to me. Give it to me. Let me be obedient and listen to your still small voice. When those opportunities come up, when I can act a fool, when that temptation is right there, I'm not going to fall into that pit. I'm not going to go down that same road like I've done every day last week. You know what I mean? I'm going to listen to you. Amen. I want that wisdom. Y'all with me so far? Okay. So who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. So Proverbs 29 and verse 23 says something here. Let me enjoy some of this water. This water, we spare no expense here for the Lord's purposes. This water was actually flown in from Baghdad, Florida. I don't know, it's small writing. Anyways, it's from Fred's. It's good. It's good high quality water. You should purchase it. It's refreshing. Anyways, God is good. I just needed to take a break for a second. Okay, so what's going on today? Okay, Proverbs 29 and verse 23. One's pride will bring him low. Well, that's the whole pride comes before a fall thing right there. We're talking about God wants us to have wisdom. And a big part of godly wisdom is being that humble, meek servant. Amen? So it ain't about my pride. It ain't about my agenda. Amen. God wants to knock that stuff away. Amen. God says nothing good in his word about a person's pride. You know what I mean? That pride truly does come before a fall. So we got to get on that humility program. Are y'all with me this morning? One's pride will bring him low. But he who is lowly in spirit, he who is meek, he who is humble. See, we have to humble ourselves. Amen. This is something that we got to give to the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to be full of pride. I don't want to be selfish. I want that godly wisdom. I want to be that person that you want me to be. I want to be about my Father's business, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that you are going to give me the strength, are y'all with me, to be that humble vessel. Amen. Where when I wake up in the morning, I'm not putting my shoes on and thinking, what kind of trouble can I get in today? What is out there for me? You know what I mean? It's not about us. Amen. You're not your own. I know that we've all heard that, and we've read that. We're not our own. We've been bought at a price. That's what I'm talking about. We can have that knowledge, but let's apply that in the appropriate manner, and that's godly wisdom. Amen? I'm not my own. I belong to someone else. I am a servant of the Most High God. Can I get a witness? One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. That's a beautiful thing right there. When I humble myself before the Lord, you see what I'm saying? When I exalt him, when I magnify the Lord, when I see him for who he truly is, amen? When I let him be the Lord of my life, amen? Because guess what? He's in charge, amen? And it's so difficult when we fight and kick and scream against that. You know what I mean? Are you with me? But I humble myself before the Lord. Say, Father God, it's not about me. It's about you. You are in charge. I want your agenda to be done in my life. Amen. That's the place we want to be. That's the place we need to be. You see what I'm saying? And when we do that, when we submit to his authority, guess what? He will exalt you. He will put you in the place he needs you to be. And that's what we want. Amen. All right. Is everybody cool? All right. God is good. Look at that. We got slides. It's Brother James. I thought it was little Billy Joe. Everyone tell James thanks. Good job, Brother James. He can't even get a day off over here. Okay, all right. James 3 and verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. That is what worldly wisdom looks like. You know what I'm saying? Bitter jealousy, envious. Amen. I want what you got. You always get the breaks. Selfish ambition. I will do what it takes to get what I want. And you know what? That leads you to no place good. Amen. You can walk on the back of everybody you know to get to that place you want to get to. And guess what? You're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into more and more sin. And you're going to be in a big fat mess, and it's going to affect everybody around you. Amen. You're like, well, that doesn't take place in churches. Okay, there's no selfish people in churches. There's no envious people in churches. Oh, godly people can get caught up in this sin just like any other sin. James is talking to Christian folks right now. It's not just for Christian people. You know what I mean? Certainly that goes on the world. That's the world's economy. That's worldly wisdom. But see, that worldly wisdom is in the church. Amen? We struggle with that. Raise your hands if you've ever been a little selfish. All right. God is good. All right. Now, see, now we're getting somewhere. We're getting honest with ourselves. Amen? Okay. All right. And this is this jealousy, this envy, selfishness. This is the exact opposite of humility. This is the exact opposite of allowing the Lord to be in charge of your life. This is all about me. This is what I want, and I won't stop at nothing to get what I want. And maybe you don't think about it that way, but if you allow the Lord to search your heart, amen, if you read the Word of God and you allow that Word of God to pierce you, you know what I mean? And not be the guy. You ever been this guy who you're like reading the word and you're like, ooh, I don't like that very much. Whoop. Whoop. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. So, I mean, you can explain that stuff away, but you know what? That's not going to help you out. You know what I mean? But see, the word of God is active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what I mean? And if you get into it and you pray, God, show me. Guess what? It don't matter if you're 4 or if you're 44, or if you're 84 or 94 or 104, as long as you can see to read. Or, you know, read. Travis, would you read the word to me? My eyes have grown so dim, my brother. We got to help each other out, right? We got to bear good fruit. But what I'm saying, if you get into that word of God, the Lord is going to show you all kinds of stuff that does not feel good to your flesh, man. You know what I mean? But see, when we see it, we got to give it to the Lord. We got to repent. Hey, this isn't right. I've been doing this the wrong way. Amen. Like my friend Donnie would say, I got to regroup and start again. That's what we got to do. When we see it, boom. Ooh, this is a mess. This is why my life got so messed up in this area. Ooh, I see when I started it, and ain't nothing been good in this area for a long minute. You know what I mean? So we got to give it to the Lord. Y'all with me so far? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget these two powerful, powerful commandments that Jesus quoted to us, that he quoted from the Old Testament. Man, I am just I'm just thirsty this morning. Okay, Matthew 22 and verse 37. Listen, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you belong to Jesus Christ, Jesus asks you to do this. Jesus expects you to do this. This is what we strive to do. We're not going to do it perfectly, but we're going to do it increasingly more and more each and every day. Less of me, more of the Lord in my life. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me so far? This is what I'm talking about. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's a big commandment right there. That's a tough commandment. Increasingly so. Every day. Deny ourselves. You know what I mean? It's not about me today. It's about loving the Lord more. It's about being more and more devoted to Him because I want to bear godly fruit. I want to set that godly example. Amen. And, you know, I've known plenty of folks that are just all about their hobbies. And I know I'm going to step on some toes here. I got hobbies too, man. A lot of you guys don't know this, but I have some very important hobbies. They're special to me. They're not special to you, but they're special to me. I have hobbies. You know, you know what my hobbies are? See, Larry's being honest. Nobody really cares about your hobbies, man. That's your thing. That's your personal thing, and that's good for you. No, I'm playing. Of course we care about each other's hobbies, but that's not the big thing, right? The big thing is the Lord. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me? I wish I wouldn't get so carried away because then I lose my focus. Okay, listen, we're to be devoted to the Lord. He's supposed to be number one. You can have the hobbies. You can have the cool stuff. But God's got to be on the throne. Amen? He's got to be number one. And He has got to be in the center of our lives. Because that's when we're going to get in that place of blessing. I'm not saying that's when you're going to get the house you've always wanted or the speedboat or all that sort of thing. You want that stuff? Work really hard to get that stuff. You know what I mean? And the Lord can bless you with stuff like that. But you know what? If you never get the big fancy house, that shouldn't make you or break you. You know what I mean? We're not our own. We're just that servant. We're just doing our duty. Can I get a witness? We're not looking for the pat on the back. We're not looking for the name in lights. It's all about being what He's called me to be. Amen? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is what we should be doing, is growing in my love, my sincere devotion to my Lord. Amen. That's the big thing. And you know what I'm going to be able to do as I do that, as I apply that? You know what I mean? This is what I'm going to be able to do. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The more I love God, the more I'm not going to be able to turn away when I see that homeless person. The more I'm sold out to God, the more I'm going to listen to that still small voice when He says, go back and pick up that person walking down the road. You know what I mean? I'm going to be able to exchange my selfishness. I'm going to be able to exchange my pride for what the Lord wants me to be, that humble, wise servant. Amen? Is everybody cool? I know I say that a lot, but I'm just concerned. I don't want you guys to not be uncomfortable. I don't know if I said that right. Okay, anyways, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast. And do not boast and be false to the truth. Listen, if you got these things going on in your heart and in your life, don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. You know what I mean? And certainly don't deceive those around you. You know what I mean? But we can deceive ourselves. We can trick ourselves. I'm not selfish. I'm not selfish. I think about other people. Let's look at it through the Word of God and see what He says. Amen. And I guarantee you we can all work on this area. Amen. Can I get a witness? But let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not trick ourselves and say, I'm not selfish. I don't have a problem. I got my act together. Okay. You know what? You know how you get healing? You know how you get fixed? You got to realize, hey, I got an issue. I got a problem. That's always step number one. You know what I mean? So let's allow ourselves to be honest with ourselves and not deceive ourselves because it's so easy. Listen to me this morning. It's so easy to deceive yourselves with the things you want to do. You know what I mean? But let's let the Lord show us what's going on. And then let's repent of that action. Let's repent of these thoughts. Amen? Okay. God is good. James 3 and verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Let me read the last verse again. Okay, what are we talking about here? And all God's people said, what are you talking about, Paul? Okay, I'm talking about James 3:14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Okay, so if you got this going on in your heart, well, where is this coming from? Is this just because daddy didn't give me attention or mama locked me in the closet? What's this about? Those things can attribute to this sort of stuff. You know what I mean? But let's dig a little deeper. You know what I mean? Whew, man. Okay, those things don't hurt as far as jealousy and envy and strife and bitterness and clamor. Okay, James 3 and verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. This is not godly wisdom. Okay, well, what kind of wisdom is it, Paul? This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Wow. All God's people said, wow. Think about it. Because maybe we toy around with this stuff sometimes. Maybe, right? This is earthly. This, in other words, this is the world's type of wisdom. This is all about your flesh, man. This is all about making you happy. This is unspiritual. This has nothing to do with the Most High God. This is about you. This is about tickling you behind there. This is about making what you want to happen and not stop it at anything to make that stuff happen. Amen? And it's demonic. It's demonic. It's straight out of the pits of hell, man. Well, what is it? Is it about me? Or is it about Satan? Well, see, when you have this mentality that it's about me, that I only live once, I want to do the things I want to do, forget about the consequences. I'm going to step over you. I'm going to do any kind of sin, any kind of selfish action it takes to be and do what I want to accomplish in this world. Okay, you say you're serving yourself, but Bob Dylan said it best, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve, and you ain't serving Jesus when that's how you're doing it. You know what I mean? So that, it's demonic, it's satanic. And Satan's, y'all didn't know I listened to Bob Dylan sometimes, did you? I've heard him before. Bob Dylan got saved. Anyways, we'll talk about that later. We don't want to judge nobody, but I pray for Brother Bob Dylan. Anyways, what he said was right. You're going to serve somebody. You got a master. You belong to somebody. And when you're serving yourself, you know what I mean? You're serving Satan. Because he's so eager to help you and to promote you and to advance you. You know what I mean? He doesn't want you just to ruin your life and your little selfish pursuit of your little happiness or whatever. I'm not saying trying to do cool things or have, I'm not saying having hobbies is bad. I'm not saying none of that stuff. It's got to be God first. It's got to be Jesus first. It's got to be Christ-centered. We can't be selfish people. Amen? We're not our own. Y'all with me? Okay. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, where we see that worldly type of wisdom that's all about me, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil practice. I'm going to read that again. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, where it's all about me, amen, where I'm jealous, I'm envious, you got all the good stuff. How come your life turned out that way? I want that, amen. Selfish ambition, it's all about me. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Sin, when it's left unchecked, when it's left undealt with, is going to lead to more and more and more sin. You know what I mean? That's just how it works. And Satan is right there. Like I said, Satan is right there, man, to encourage you along the way. Because he doesn't want you to just mess up your life. Amen? That's not good enough for him. I mean, he'll take what he gets, but he wants you to mess up your entire family. He wants you to mess up everything around you. Amen? And that sin is going to get more and more diverse. It's always sin. Listen to me, because this is important right here. Sin that is not dealt with, sin that we do not repent of, is always going to lead to more and more sin and more different types of sin. You don't just stop there. Your perversion is going to get deeper and weirder and stranger if you feed that little monster. You got to give that to the Lord. You got to repent from that nonsense. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? Look at I'm going to give you an example. Because I know some of y'all ain't getting it. No, I'm playing. Of course y'all get it. I'm playing. Think about David. David was a man after God's own heart. But he wasn't a perfect guy. And you remember when he was supposed to be at war, he was supposed to be out, he let his guard down. He got lazy with his walk. Amen. And he was out in the cool of the evening walking around the palace wall. And he sees the lady taking the bathtub. That's not proper English. He saw the lady. He saw. I'm trying to work on that because when I listen to this stuff, I'm like saying, that's, man. I'm trying to do better for y'all's. Thank you. Thank you. He saw the lady. He saw Bathsheba. Her name wasn't Bathsheba for nothing. See, John, come hit the cymbal when I, because that was good. He saw the lady, you know, bathing. And okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to tell you, since I got my act together real good, I'm going to tell you what David should have done. When David's out walking around and he sees a pretty naked lady taking a bath, he should have looked the other way. He should have like, whoop, doot, 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 doot. Doot, doot, whoop. Sorry, I'm going to walk around this side. Don't need to be seeing that. But see, and that wouldn't have been sin. That wouldn't have been sin if he saw the naked lady and was like, whoa, whoop, doo, whoa, wow. Does that make sense? You can't help the billboards, gentlemen, you see when you're driving through town. I mean, you don't have to look at them. And if you know what it is, maybe you shouldn't look at it. You're like, I'm going the long way home today. Look at them. I took the long way home. No. But, you know, listen, if you see it, that's not sin. But when you start to meditate on it, think about it, that's when we're getting in nasty, dirty water right there. You know what I mean? And so he had the little lust thing going on with the pretty girl. Y'all with me? Okay. Should have repented. But he's like, hey, the girl over there, the naked girl, who is that? He investigates. He's digging deeper into his sin. He gets her to come over. It ain't like Bathsheba could say no to the king if she wanted to. You know what I mean? He had the high ground here. He could have took the high road. He had all kinds of old ladies at his house. You know what I mean? He had a lot of wives and stuff. But you know what I mean? See, that's how sin really is. It's the thing you can't have that shines and glimmers. That's the thing you can't get out of your mind unless you give it to the Lord. You know what I mean? But see, he dug deeper, got her to come over. See, each sin leads to another sin, and you're getting deeper and deeper and deeper into a mess. And this affects his whole life, his whole family. You know what I mean? Eventually, he murders Bathsheba's husband. Lives with that. Historians say about a year he dealt with that before he got right with the Lord about it. How they know that, I'm not sure, but I'm sure they do know that. I just didn't take the time to investigate it. But it was a good long while he dealt with that. That he held that he hid that. That's what I'm saying. You can convince yourself, this is cool, this is okay. God understands this. God does not understand that. He's not going to wink at our sin. Can I get a witness? And I'm preaching to myself, so it is what it is, showbiz. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Amen? Now let's look at some qualities. Let's look at some qualities, and all God's people said qualities. Qualities of godly wisdom. James 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. No hidden agenda. No manipulation. It's not about me. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. This is what it should look like right here. Amen? I should be the peacemaker. Raise your hands if that's easy. Is that easy to be the peacemaker all the time? It is not easy to be the peacemaker. But like I said, I'm the Lord's humble servant. We are the Lord's humble servant. We're here for his agenda. We're here to do what he's called us to do. We want to bear that good fruit. Amen? So you know what? And we've talked about this a lot, so we're just going to kind of move past this. But see, the Lord says you have to be the peacemaker. You can't help what the other person wants to do. You can't help how mad or riled up or how they don't see what's really going on. You know what I mean? But see, the ball's in your court. How are you going to handle this situation? Amen? The Lord says you need to be the peacemaker. Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible. You can't help what other people do. You can't help what other people say. But everything in your power, you want to make peace. Amen? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle. I am considerate of others. I am gentle. Amen? I'm not demanding I get my way. This is godly wisdom. This is what godly wisdom looks like right here. Amen? I'm not demanding my way. Amen? I'm going to be the peacemaker. I just want what God wants. Amen? And I'm open to reason. That's a good one right there. I'm open to reason. Because sometimes, let's face it, we don't want to yield. We don't want to yield all the time. I'm not talking about traffic, but I'm talking about when somebody hurts our feelings, someone we feel like they're out of line, and they might be out of line, they're stepping on our toes. We don't want to yield. We don't want to give up. Does that make sense? But God says, hey, you be the peacemaker. Amen. Y'all with me? Open to reason, willing to yield, stand down to reason. I don't know about you, I say this with no pride, but when I get really upset, it does not matter what the truth is sometimes. But see, godly wisdom says I yield to what the truth is. Amen. What I'm saying is I can be in a bad situation where all I'm seeing is red. You know what I mean? And I will not listen to that still small voice. I'm screaming over that still small voice because I'm so upset. And I will not yield to reason. That is not godly wisdom. Amen? Open to reason, full of mercy. Yeah, you know that mercy, right, guys? What God gives us instead of judgment, right? We're to give that to others. Amen? Y'all with me? We got to forgive. And good fruits. We talk about good fruits an awful lot. But see, godly wisdom, taking that knowledge about the Lord, about the things I have learned, about the kingdom, about the things I know about God, and dealing with it, applying it appropriately, that godly wisdom is going to produce good fruit. If I get involved in the worldly way, the selfish way, the envious way, it's going to produce more and more bad fruit. Amen? Y'all with me? And good fruits. Impartial. No favorites. Godly wisdom says no favorites. We talked about that a couple weeks ago too. God doesn't play favorites, so we don't have any business playing favorites. And sincere. Godly wisdom is sincere. No hypocrisy, the genuine, the real deal, the real article. Amen? Not trying to manipulate to get my way. That's worldly wisdom. Amen? So one more time, James 3 and 17, but the wisdom from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So that is the qualities. That's what godly wisdom is going to look like. If I look at it underneath the microscope, these are the things that I want to see going on in my life. Am I being gentle? Or am I trying to get my way? Am I screaming over everybody else? No, it's my way on the highway. No. No. I could just do that all day. And get me riled up, and that's what you'll see. I ain't proud of it. Tell the truth, right? God is good. Y'all got to pray for me. Somebody in the audience is aggravating me. Really? No, I'm playing. I'm playing. God is good. Last verse. And all God's people said, Last verse. James 3 and verse 18. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If I sow in peace, if I plant in peace, I'm going to reap a righteous harvest of peace. You know what I mean? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So I can be the selfish guy, the envious guy, the jealous guy that is going to lead to nowhere good for myself or nobody around me. Nothing's going to turn out good in that area. You know what I mean? If I don't deal with the sin in my life, it's going to carry on to my kids. The things that I'm okay with, you know what I mean? They're like, that I'm okay with, my kids are going to get deeper into that than I was. And it's going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. So the Lord says, hey, don't do this. Deal with this. Get rid of it. Amen. Y'all with me? But if I sow the good, I'm going to reap the good. And it's going to be a big, fat harvest. Amen. Because that's what we've been talking about. Christians bear good fruit. Amen. Y'all with me? Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you. Do you love them this morning? Tell them you love them. In Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know we're so blessed. There's no one like our God. There's no one like our God. And I'm just blown away. I'm just blown away that he picked me up. You know what I mean? That he saved my soul. Because I tell you, man, if I was God, and I ain't, you know what I mean? If anyone was... Not starting a cult here. So anyways, what are we talking about? Yeah, if I was God, I wouldn't pick me out. I mean, I would say, like, I wouldn't be the first round draft pick is what I'm saying. Not by a long shot. But he picked me out, man. He picked us all out. We are so blessed, man. We need to focus on that, man, that God so loved the world, and I'm part of that. You know what I mean? Man, he's good. Anyways, we better move along. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Give us the hunger and the desire to be what you've called us to be, Lord God. To not be selfish, to not be envious, to not be jealous, to not be involved in what the world has to offer, but to be about your business, to be your servant, Lord God. A servant that is wise. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.